Welcome back to my podcast. It's our second episode, so that's really exciting. My guest today, his name is Shane Lamon. I met this kid when I was 17 years old, and he was 21, about to turn 22. And we fell in love and got married and had a baby. And that is what we are here to talk about today, is that day that our son entered our lives and rocked our relationship in a good way and in some challenging ways. So we're just going to make this like a conversation. Shane and I are just going to talk about it, and you can kind of be a fly on the wall and listen in. So I guess first, we can talk about the day that he was born and in the hospital, and that first just like bam in your face change, baby bliss, exhausted. So from your perspective, let's hear a little summary of like the first 4 weeks. Just tell me what you remember from it, and then we'll kind of get into it.
Oh man, the first 4 weeks. So I'll just start with like that moment when you told me that your water broke. It was just kind of like, okay, well, let's time to buckle up and here we go. And I just remember heading to the hospital just thinking like, okay, I'm not sure really what to expect. I mean, we watched a lot of like YouTube videos on like labor and delivery from other people. So I kind of had a little idea, which helped a little bit, but I really didn't have like a clue about what we were about to experience. So like being there and just like seeing his head come out and like the whole deal is just something that I kind of tell my friends that are expecting to have a baby right now. It's just like, you don't even know what you're getting into until you're like right in that moment. But man, like as soon as he came out and just watching you go through everything and like being there by your side and like just experiencing all that was just incredible. And
let me ask you a question really quick. Did seeing the graphic birth have a long-lasting effect on how you saw like my body, my lady parts, or was it pretty easy to like shut the door on that like thought and then just see me as like how I was before? Did that affect how you like saw my body?
Honestly, like in that moment, it was just like I was witnessing a miracle, it felt like. So it didn't seem like, oh my gosh, like this is gonna ruin my image of Kristen's body. It was more like, how the heck did she do that? So like the long term lasting effect of like witnessing that and then like being with you intimately, like I don't think about it like at all unless we like talk about it, then I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, but it's not something that like, yeah, it's not something like when we're being intimate, it's not like I think about it.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to other like dads to be of how to support their girl through the labor and delivery experience? And then I'll say kind of what if I was in the pregnant mom's shoes, what I would say, the advice I'd give. So you go first.
I would just say anything that you need. Like you needed some ice sometimes. You needed some special music sometimes. You needed some support, like some physical touch sometimes, like whatever you need. And like, don't be too overbearing, but just like really be right there and just meet her needs in the split second that she needs it. Cause she's not really thinking about you. So just be there for her and just help her in any way possible, any way you can.
And never complain about anything that you feel.
Ever.
If you have explosive diarrhea, you keep your mouth shut and you squeeze your cheeks. Like, you don't say anything about, like...
Yeah, there's no complaining on your end.
No complaining. No complaining.
On the dad's end.
Yes, right. And that did make all the difference. Like, I can vividly remember through the foggy memory of labor and delivery, I totally remember my mouth being so dry from breathing and, like, trying to breathe through the contractions and you, like, being right there with the straw and, like, oh, beautiful. Ice, yes. Yeah. And then if from the pregnant person's shoes who's listening to this, the advice to give to them would be that just to be there and that you'll try and be as kind as you can but some actions might not represent your true feelings because you're in pain and stuff, and maybe, like, give your partner, like, a little debrief of, like, look, there's gonna be a lot of stuff going on. It's a whole new experience for me. Like, I'm scared and everything. Like, I don't know, just preface, like, your feelings and maybe talk about it beforehand. So now let's cut to the night after he was born at 11:47 p.m. It's this night, and we're sleep deprived already. I just gave birth, and Oliver starts crying at, like, what, 3 or 4 a.m.?
Not 3 or 4 in the morning. It was, like,
what time
12:31. Like, it was, like, right after, like, as soon as our nurse left the room.
Okay.
See, like, probably 5 minutes after.
I have such a bad memory of this because even my dad came to meet Oliver, and I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it was quick.
So, okay, so this is that's the experience I'm talking about. Of, he started crying. We looked at each other, and we were like, what do we do? We have a child. And trust me, like, I have experience with babies. Like, I know how to, like, but, like, in this moment of sleep deprivation and post-labor, we looked at each other, and we were just like, oh, my gosh. Like, we're parents, and it's overwhelming. And we called the nurse in, and we're like, what do we do? He's crying.
She's just like,
it's so embarrassing now, but.
Does he need milk?
Wait, guys. This, write this down in your notes so that if you're in the same position, this is what you do, okay? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Does he need milk? Is his diaper wet? What was the third one?
Does he need to be swaddled?
Does he need to be swaddled?
Or does he need skin to skin?
Or does he need skin to skin? And we're just like, oh.
And then for the next, like, month or two, that was all I thought about. I was like, what's the solution?
And then trying to swaddle him compared to how she swaddled him, it was, like, horrible. It's like a flop. I was doing, like, a floppy, loose burrito. And our nurse was, like, pro.
She was, like, a Crunchwrap Supreme. And we were, like...
he was just, like, so cozy in her wrap.
And we were the burrito that you take one bite and it falls apart. And she was a Crunchwrap Supreme.
Seriously.
Okay, so now... the hospital is, like, gnarly, but, like, you're just doing it. To me, the part when we got home, so we get home, and both of our parents were there, and then this is really when, like, the postpartum hormones just, like, flooded me.
We have to hit on the drive home.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
Putting your infant child in a car seat for the first time is terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Like, how tight should I... do it? Like, is he okay? Like, how does he sit?
they're so tiny.
And, like, even though he was 9'11", by the way, 9 pounds 11 ounces.
Yeah.
So,
and okay, so we put him in, and we weren't allowed to put him in the car seat inside the hospital. We had to, like, put him in outside, and it was, like, really windy and freezing that day, remember? Mm-hmm. So we put him in, and then, like, driving home on the freeway was terrifying. It just felt like everyone was going to crash into us.
Literally.
But what helped me is I just, like, would wrap my hands around the car seat, like, pretending, like, if anything happened, he's safer with me around him.
Driving the speed limit in the slow lane.
Yep. And there was a lot of traffic, so we got to go really slow. So we bring him home, and then both sets of parents are there. And I remember, like, I was so overwhelmed by everything. I just went upstairs, and I started bawling, and then I think I texted you, and I was like, hey, can you come upstairs? And it's just overwhelming. There's just so much mentally, physically, emotionally, so much. So I was like, can you just bring Oliver upstairs? And I just, like, held him, and I, like, cried, and I cried a lot. I remember, like, I'd look at you and Oliver and be like, I'm so thankful, and I'd just be crying, and then I'd be like, I'm so scared something's gonna happen to him, and I'd just be crying. And
I'm, like, sitting here trying to remember, like, details about that, and it seems like a blur.
Yeah.
Like, that week or two seems like a blur, because it was just sleep deprivation, and, like, but it wasn't, like, miserable. Like, we got through it, but still, it was just, like...
it's hard.
What happened. And I was so fortunate to get, like...
time off with
three
me.
Or 4 weeks off.
Absolutely. Yeah, I talked about on my first episode about the baby bliss stage. There's, like, this stage where you're, like, sleep deprived, but you're, like, also just, like, stoked on life, and you don't, like, feel it. It doesn't hit you for a few days. And I remember, like, it was going good, and then my milk came in, and then I had the hardest. Yeah, let's talk about the day that the milk came in. I don't know if these terms are like derogatory, so they were like probably 7 times bigger than my normal size.
Like,
so that is when the problem started with like nursing, and that got really complicated. I think I'm gonna go more into like postpartum healing on my own, or like with a friend. I kind of want to talk more about...
the nipple shield was a saving grace.
Yeah, praise the nipple shield.
And the outlet.
Yeah, well, I think we'll talk about that more. But I kind of want to talk now about our relationship and how it was difficult to make that transition. I do want to say one little story is it was probably the second night home. Maybe third night. And I just was sitting on the edge of my bed and I was like bawling. And I looked at Shane and I was like, what did we do? What did we do to our life? Or like my friends were out having like dinner and I was like sitting there with a torn open vag, like bleeding and like massive boobs and like hurting. And like, I just wanted to sleep. And it was just like, it's a huge transition. And I don't feel like it's a bad thing to feel that way. You're kind of like grieving like the loss of your old life and like you're transitioning to like this new life. And it didn't mean I didn't want Oliver. I wanted him more than anything, but it was just hard. Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of, I feel like we touched a lot on like the hardships of it, but like, let's talk a little bit about the bliss of it. That way it's like, yeah, it has a good balance of, it's not, it's like beautiful.
Yeah.
Like
looking, you just do it.
Yeah. And then like those moments of like laying in like your bed with your tiny newborn, like you're not asleep, but just like,
yeah,
in awe of them and the way that he was like moving and like looking at his features and being like, he looks just like you. And like,
it goes back to that thing where like, it's not like I have to do this. It's like, I want to, it's like my child. Like,
yeah,
I'm taking care of my son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's our little son.
There's so much bliss in it along with all those hardships.
Yeah.
Like, you, and getting to kiss them on the face, like, waiting all that time when you're pregnant, and then getting to kiss their little cheeks, and like,
no one can tell you not to kiss them or anything. Like, it's, like, your decision.
Yeah, and then the first time that they smile at you.
Oh.
Like, just, like, them sleeping on your chest.
Skin to skin is...
Skin to skin.
Awesome.
Your heart, like, throbs for them.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, yeah, it's, I feel like it's important to say the reality of it, of how hard, but also talk about the bliss of it, of what a blessing they are, like, straight from God, and, oh, just precious, and, like, how fast they grow, and yeah, all that good stuff.
And it's important to, like, be okay with having help.
Yeah. Oh, this is what I would do, because I didn't want to be, like, apart from him. So my mom would sit in the rocking chair next to me, and I would, like, close my eyes and fall asleep for a little, and then wake up and see that he's okay. Yeah. So, yeah. One thing, let's talk about sleep envy. Because when you're awake with the baby and the other person is sleeping, the deep hatred that you can feel, like, is, like, no other. Like, I remember, like, I'd be up. We did it super evenly, too. Like,
yeah,
we'd wake up together almost every time.
I'm being honest, I don't feel like I felt envious about it.
I think it's more of, like, what I hear from a lot of other moms is when you're nursing the baby and then, like, the husband, yeah, knows that they can't help with it, that's when it's hard. But no, we would wake up almost every time together, yeah, and one of our biggest mistakes was changing his diaper every single time he woke up.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know why we did that, but we thought that he needed a new diaper every single time.
It was a part of the list, man.
It was the list. It was the nurse's list. We checked it off, I'm telling you. And then also, oh my gosh, discovering Velcro swaddles, because we didn't have Velcro swaddles in the
game
beginning.
Game changer.
Game changer.
Tight burrito every time.
Tight extra Crunchwrap Supreme.
Every time.
The Crunchwrap Supreme is the type that's, like, sautéed together, right?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I need to Google that. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's like when the two tortillas are, like, sautéed together, like,
yeah, just tight. Tight, yeah.
Let's talk about intimacy. I'd love to kick it off because I have a specific thought.
Man.
So, at the end of your pregnancy, when you're just, like, a chalupa. What's a chalupa? I don't know.
That's a good term for
okay,
it.
Okay, when you're just a chalupa.
It means like wide open, I think.
Mm.
All the meat's on top.
When you're just a chalupa at the end of the pregnancy and like if anything is inserted, like you just have contractions, that's what I would have. You can't like lay on your belly to get into your favorite positions or anything like that. And you're just kind of like, you're just kind of like, you feel like you're missing out. And then postpartum, when you don't have that belly and that first hug that we encountered when our bodies could touch, it was just like, oh my gosh, like getting to hug you without a belly in the way. And then I remember we were like laying on the couch and I was just like, oh my gosh, like we can hug like body to body and not have a baby in the middle of us. Amazing.
Amazing.
Do you have any thoughts on that before I jump to like put, like getting cleared?
No, let's just get to that.
Okay. So I got cleared 6 weeks postpartum to have sex and to exercise. And I wanted to try. Mind you, I should have taken note of this, that I had, like, this is kind of graphic, trigger warning, stitches, and lady parts. Trigger warning. Fast forward. Okay. A few days before my six-week appointment, I had felt like my stitches hadn't dissolved, so I ended up just, like, tugging a little bit on them, and they came out. And I pulled them out. So, that had just happened.
And I think they, like, dissolved.
They are supposed to dissolve. None of mine dissolved. They either fell out. Or I pulled the last one out, which I don't know why, but that's just how mine happened. So I was like, let's try. Let's hear from your perspective. Let's hear from your perspective first. The first try, 6 weeks postpartum.
The first try. Babe, I'm being straight. Like, I don't remember the first try.
Okay, that's kind of good. I'm a little bit glad. So, from my perspective, the first try, I, a lot of info. We tried to, what's the wording I can use? We tried to have sex and barely the tip and I felt like I was ripping open. There it is. So we stopped and I made a reel about this with the audio that says, haha, I like it, but not a lot. And then it's like, wait, I don't like it. And then we just waited until we felt ready again to try.
Yeah. And one thing, one advice I'd give to any husbands listening is just like seeing what our wives just went through. We literally like have to be as patient as possible when it comes to this scenario. Like, just because Kristen, like, just because I might have a heavy desire because it's been a while, like, we have to endure it, we have to push through it, and we're taking care of a baby together in that moment too, so that was a distraction. But I just feel like just make sure that your wife is just 100% ready to go.
Right.
There's no, yeah.
And maybe too, having like super loving conversations, yeah, about,
or maybe find what, other ways.
Right, what, yeah, you are ready for.
Other fun ways.
Right, and honestly,
to help each other.
Yeah, and like,
I mean,
and like hormonally, like there's a lot of stuff going on. And so,
yeah,
if you don't feel ready to, like, because a lot of moms, myself included, we're dealing with like postpartum depression, postpartum, yeah, anxiety, and there's so much other stuff going on that, be open with where you're at and just have loving conversations of like, this is what I'm feeling and like, I want to meet your needs and just talk about it. And like,
isn't there this misconception too that you like can't get pregnant after you have your baby, like before you have your first period?
Yeah.
But you can.
Well, the thing is like you could be ovulating and start your period in the next 2 weeks and, yeah, you just don't know. Yeah.
But some people think, like, they can't get pregnant and they get pregnant right away.
Some people think if you're breastfeeding, you can't get pregnant.
Oh.
But, alert, you can. I was breastfeeding and started my period 4 months postpartum. So, like, we easily could have if we lived by that logic. So, now going to, I have some notes written down. Yes, too. Okay, so that's kind of, like, early, early days. Now I'm, like, the two-year-old days. Where we're both working, I'm working like pretty much part-time, you're working full-time, taking care of the house, taking care of just life. How, like, let's address first, what's the issue? What's the struggle? The struggle is like, reconnecting and working together as a team and having like even loads. Like, it's really hard to find that balance. It's really hard to, you're trying to work together as a team with this person. So first, you want to address, like, what are the struggles that come with balancing life?
I don't know. Can you elaborate a little
yeah,
bit
more? Yeah, no, it was kind of like I guess I would say, what are like the struggles, and like, and then we can talk about like what advice would we give ourselves on how to overcome those struggles. I think it was hard for us and for me, because I definitely had I never got diagnosed with postpartum anxiety, but now looking back, a lot of the thoughts and feelings that I had probably were a little abnormal. So like the first like few months, I didn't want anyone around him because I didn't want him to get sick. It was flu season, like everyone was sick, but
yeah.
I just kind of was like over the top. And so I think I put a strain on our ability to like connect with friends because I was so nervous of people being around him.
Yeah. I feel like it's important too, to like, whether you're a husband or a wife who has like a hobby that you enjoy doing, I feel like it's important too to have time for yourself, whatever that looks like communicate that with your spouse on, you know, whether it's a certain amount of time that you need to, for example, like just go fishing or work out or
yeah,
whatever it is that you need to do for yourself. Like I feel like it's healthy in a balanced aspect to like, you know, do that through this whole time.
Yeah.
Leading up to, we have a 2-year-old now, so that's where we cut off, but
for sure.
I feel like it's good to have that, you know, like your photography business and stuff, like even though it's like your part-time job, like you enjoy it and that's something that you should do and like go do, and or you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And I think I was definitely more, because when you have a newborn baby and then your husband's at work all day and you feel kind of like I would feel like lonely and I'd want you to come back. But myself, like the advice I would give to myself back then is like, just make plans in advance of like when, you know, put it on the calendar of like what you want to do, Shane, and then like have that plan so I can make a plan with someone else so that I can have company, and just really like talk through it, find the balance, plan it ahead of time so you can kind of prepare for it. And then being able to be your own individual,
yeah,
is so important
in a balanced way, for sure.
Yeah, yeah,
like don't take advantage of it. Like it's all about balance.
Totally.
And I feel like balance is a big key to success in both your marriage and raising your kid.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of, like, mom guilt, too. Because, like, sometimes if you told me, I saw this thing, too, and it was, like, giving a mom a break isn't doing fun things with the kids without her. It's not like, you know, like, I'm going to take him to the park, and then I'm like, but I don't want to stay home because I want to enjoy the park with you guys. And, but being able to, like...
Well, I feel like I tell you that a lot.
Yeah, well, there's just this thing of, like, giving a mom a break isn't doing fun things without her. It's kind of like the hard times of, like, cleaning the house and, like...
Yeah.
But, yeah, mom guilt is gnarly. Like, I can feel guilty sometimes because I'm doing the dishes and he's asking me to play. And I'm like, let me finish the dishes and then I'll feel guilty. It's, like, so bizarre. But that's how I feel a lot of the time. Oh, I got some questions. What was the most unexpected aspect of pregnancy? Oh, I would like to talk about one of, like... the how much your body changes and being okay with seeing the body you've known your whole life change so rapidly. Like the first thing that changed, I remember, is I got stretch marks on my breasts, and I was on the toilet and I looked down and I was like, oh my gosh, what are those? I had never had a stretch mark before, and they were on my boobs, and I was like, oh my gosh, no. And then, like, then, because I was barely pregnant when that happened. And then I gained weight really fast with Oliver. I gained so much weight in the second trimester, because he was just massive. But every time you'd go in, it'd be, like, another 20 pounds. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But I was, like, 50 pounds over my original weight. Yeah, 50. And that was so hard, not knowing what you were going to be like after. It was really challenging to, like, be, like, okay with it. And I got so many stretch marks on my inner thighs and my outer thighs and my butt. But they've faded a lot, but I can still see them. Like, they're there. My body's way different. And it's okay.
I thought you look hot pregnant.
Thanks.
Cringy.
And like delete. that was really hard for me. Unexpected, kind of how hard it'd be. Oh, like I remember like having so much cottage cheese on my thighs, and then like my like young friends would come over and I'd be wearing shorts like, oh, my thighs are like 7 times the size they were before, and it's just hard. How do you handle disagreements about parenting? I feel like so far our parenting is like, don't hit the dog. So it's not necessarily like, should he have a cell phone or should he be able to date? It's kind of like,
yeah,
don't hit the dog, and just finding a way that we both agree on communicating with him of like, we always try to just redirect him and not like, oh, I said no.
It's yeah, like, I feel like the redirecting part was like a learning curve for me because I don't know. I feel like you did so much more research, or you just knew somehow of like what to do and what not to do. Like, I feel like I kind of lacked on that part in the beginning when we first had Oliver. I kind of relied on like you and your knowledge, and I didn't really have like the redirecting thing. Like, I would have never thought of that. I probably would have told him no.
I read a book, The Montessori Toddler, and when I read that book, it just opened my mind to being able to empathize with what his little brain was thinking and how to like communicate with his brain. And it just, it helped you understand like if they're like hitting, it's like a developmental stage, and to redirect them to, remember we'd have him hit the pillows or hit the chairs because he had these feelings and he had this like movement that he wanted to practice. And so we'd tell him like, you can't hit us, but if you need to hit something, hit your chair or hit your pillow. Like, you can't climb on the table, but here, let me set these pillows up for you. This is something safe that you can climb on. Because, so it just opened my mind. So I credit that knowledge to The Montessori Toddler. It's like really inexpensive on Amazon. Let me see if I could pull it up. And that was so helpful of just understanding how his little brain was working and that he wanted to be part of our household. So it's A Parent's Guide to Raising a Curious Human Being by Simone Davies. So that, I'm going to wrap it up there. If you have any questions for us, you can DM me on Instagram at kristen.lemon, KristenLemon. I'm also on YouTube, Kristen Lemon, and I have lots of my labor and delivery video, lots of early days, like pretty much a lot of the stuff we talked about, we vlogged. So, and on my Instagram, we make funny reels about parenting stuff. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that like sharing some of our relationship dynamic brings comfort to like maybe you if you're going through the same thing, and just know that you're not alone. Having a baby is a huge transition and it takes time, and just not to put so much pressure on yourself. Thank you for watching. I already said all the things. So I hope you have a good night, good day, good week, good weekend, whatever it is. Bye, guys.
Bye.